Welcome to Goonies World. My name is Goonie, also known as Colin, and I am joined, as always, by Meanie, also known as Ryan.
Hello.
And Unicorn, also known as Lynn.
Hi.
And Johnny Farrow, also known as Sean.
Hey, 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 everybody. I'm glad to be here. All right. Let's do some role-playing.
Nice. Already in character. I like it. So as you, as listeners may be aware, based on the title of this episode, we are going back to the Spirit game that I hastily put together some time ago for a few episodes, featuring two characters who will be making a return. In this series, Bean Kingsley, who you just heard, and of course, Bart Garfinkel, the cryptid enthusiast. Is that fair?
Well, yes, but he would, use the phrase cryptozoologist, even though that's not a real profession, I don't think.
Well, he actually works in a bowling alley.
Yes.
So it's not his profession anyway.
No, it's not it's his passion, but so yeah, right. Enthusiast. That works, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a cryptozoologist. Come on.
And anyway, so in terms of how this all came together, I had some theories that being either pitched a potential article, I don't know if it would be to Cream or to some other publication, maybe National Geographic or something, about going and hunting down another Bigfoot, this time in the Alaskan Triangle, to try to, I don't know, compare notes with what you saw in Northern California. But I don't know. I don't know if Cream would.
No, I think it's actually kind of funnier if he somehow scammed National Geographic into doing it. Well, see, I know a guy who knows a guy who knows Glenn Ford, and you don't want to know how, and neither does Glenn Ford want you to know how. So I put two and two together, and I got in with the National Geographic and sponsoring this.
And so, of course, they will be expecting, an article when this is all said and done. But, of course, I think for Bart, it's just an opportunity to go look for, Bigfoot again. So National Geographic, obviously, they took care of everything. They booked you flights. They booked you a rental car. They booked you a pilot in Alaska. To take you around, they booked, I don't know if I just already said lodging, but they took care of that as well. You don't really know, I mean, you have plane tickets, flying out of SFO, and you got a layover, kind of a long layover in, Seattle and then on to Fairbanks. And so I'm kind of imagining starting, at the SFO terminal where I'm, those cabs, those San Francisco cabs of like the late 70s, early 80s that look like, I don't know what kind of car they were. I should have looked this up and done some research. But they looked like they were probably from the 50s or something, or because they had like kind of the almost fins, but they had like the green, they were all yellow with like the green at the bottom. I don't know if anybody even knows what I'm talking about. But
I don't
imagining...
know what you're talking about, but I never really take a look at the cab. It's usually in the dark, and I'm usually stumbling. But some retro lines is what you're saying, which I can dig. Hey, it's the 70s, so we're all about the retro 50s.
Sometime 1970 and or 80X, kind of question mark. Could be some a little bit of overlap there. But in any case, I'm kind of imagining you guys, you know, getting out of the cabs, sort of pulling, you know, whatever suitcases out of the trunk, and trundling into the terminal, which is busy. There are people coming and going everywhere. And of course, you've got to go through security, although at this point in history, going through security is basically walking with all your shit through a metal detector and just continuing on to your destination. Like, I mean, maybe they'll wand you or something if you set something off, but it's so fucking, I mean, it's like, and of course, because of this, there are people, you know, all inside the terminal, and, you know, people handing out flowers and pamphlets and all sorts of stuff. There's a guy walking around with a sign that says Kill Dan White. It's very, very busy. And it's very clear that at this point in time, there are all sorts of people here who aren't flying anywhere. Which is very much unlike what you experience at airports today.
And I'm sure there's smoking, lots of people.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, everybody's smoking everywhere.
Yeah,
in fact, I'm always really cool to the Moonies, you know, in terms of flowers. I'd like to get a flower for my lapel from the Moonies, and while I'm out, bum a cigarette from one of them, because I forgot mine.
And everybody smokes at this point, so of course, yeah,
he'll
bum you a smoke, no problem. Anyway, so it's a fairly long walk, you know, to your gate. It's, you know, and the flight's leaving in like an hour. It's not like an hour. You got to show up like 2+ hours before your fucking plane leaves. You know, you find your gate and get situated. Now, I don't know if there's anything in particular you would like to do here. I assume not. But I'm imagining being just sort of, I don't know what he would be doing, just sitting at the gate reading a newspaper is kind of what I'm imagining in my head, although I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I like to keep up with the news, you know, but I really don't like waiting around here like a civilian, you know. I like the old days. I'd fly on private jets, you know. Speaking of waiting around, getting there 2 hours early, one time I was on a jet with Led Zeppelin. Jimmy Page got there 2 hours late somehow. But, you know, I believed it in the moment.
You were on a Zeppelin?
Of course I was.
Oh, that's really amazing. I've never flown in a Zeppelin before. I don't fly a lot, actually, at all. I'm a little bit nervous, and my stomach is upset.
Yeah, well, you're going to love jet-setting around Alaska, my friend.
Oh. No.
I never could get you on a plane or a helicopter tour of the mountains when we were staying in Colorado.
No, just driving around the mountains. That was enough for me.
Yeah, well, the less said about Colorado, the better. I tell you, John Denver's never going to talk to us again. You know, that guy needs to... Hey, even I think he needs to sober up, though. That guy needs a hobby. He should learn to fly a plane or something.
a little too much of that Rocky Mountain high, huh? It's funny, I actually half expected Bing to say that he flew on a Zeppelin with Jefferson Airplane for some reason.
No, I told you, I wasn't welcome around there because of Paul Kantner. I told you, you know, I'm China Kantner's father, but it's awkward, so I'm really not welcome in the whole Jefferson Airplane camp. I told him, you need to change your name and modernize. So something like Jefferson Spaceship or something is what you ought to do. I don't know if they'll take me up on it.
And then they will build a city on rock and roll.
Hey, I wrote that. Oh, well, says a guy walking past the same universe.
That's true. Yeah. That's fair. Funnily enough, though... there's no better way to segue into this than you hear a woman's voice say, "Bing Kingsley."
Oh, I immediately look up and wave without knowing who Yep, hi, how are you? Without even, before I even see the person and look around.
Well, you see someone. You don't immediately recognize them, but there's a woman standing here with, an attractive woman standing here with kind of long, dark hair, and she's got like this child with her, like a blonde-headed...
Oh, boy!
Child of maybe 10 or 12 years old.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, kid. Ma'am?
Is that you, Bing? What are you doing here? I haven't seen you in so long.
Hey, you. Wow. You? You look so different. I haven't seen you since where was it?
He has no idea who she is, I think, and he's just desperately trying to get her to give him a clue that'll spark his memory.
I'm trying to think, I've suddenly blanked on a music venue in the Troubadour? Is that in San Francisco?
The Troubadour, sure. Well, if it isn't, I remember it being somewhere, but you know, it's a lot of it's blurry. The memory's not what it used to be.
I'm just curious if... if Sean the player has any idea what I'm doing here, or
I have a fear, and it's funny because Bing Kingsley's first instinct when he said his name was he had that newspaper, he was gonna like fold it up, like maybe it was the DEA or Child Support Enforcement or somebody like that. But I'm starting to suspect you might be going with the latter. But
she might be going crazy on you.
Well, she's got a long way to catch up if she wants to go crazy. That's me.
Oh, I think I see what you did there.
Well, it's nice to see you, Bing, but you know, I'm just flying China here to go see her dad.
Oh my God! Okay, now I see what you're doing. Oh, he takes off the glass. I gotta stop wearing these things indoors. Come here, baby, come here. I say to the kid, I want to give the kid a hug if she hugs me.
The kid like kind of recoils back and like looks at who we now I'm sure all realize is Grace Slick.
yeah Grace, you gotta, you know, you put on a few. I didn't quite recognize you in the little 80s there with the hair.
If it's not the 80s yet, he means that she's getting there. And so yeah, any
more thought to that spaceship idea I pitched you? Space Station Jefferson or something like that?
Well, it's not really up to me. I leave that kind of thing up to Paul. But anyway, I just thought I recognized you. But yeah, we've got to fly to Europe. Got to take her to see her dad.
Well, maybe she already has.
And then there's some little meaningful music. And
I'll tell you what, though, let's stop by the gift booth. Gets out his wallet, you know. Here's how I know how to show love. Let's go get some teddy bears and candy bars and coloring books for the flight. What do you think, little China girl?
Well, we've got really got to get to our gate. You know, our plane's leaving here and it's supposed to take off here in about 45 minutes. So,
all right. Well, sorry.
We've got to get going. Then nothing's going to stop us now.
Let them say we're crazy. That's it. All right.
What do they know?
All right.
Anyway, they hurry off towards their gate or whatever. But I was thinking about having her chastise you for spreading rumors that you were Johnny Cantor's father, but I decided not to do that.
Well, he like chokes back up a manly tear as he watches him, you know, go away. And he goes,
well, see, that's why people take drugs, to kill the pain. All right, speaking of which, and I'm gonna go over to like the phone booth, because I'm sure there is one. Probably not a full on Superman phone booth, but you know,
there's like a bank of right. Pay phones. Yeah.
And he goes up and picks up the phone and acts like he's using it and hunch in. I'm in a private conversation, but I'll take a whiff of the ether. Put it back in. I need to calm my nerves.
That's what the doctor ordered. Okay. Take it easy, Daddy. All right.
So I'll go back out to Bart Garfinkel. And like, woo!
Okay, so you believe me now?
I don't know who that was. I don't know any of the people that you mentioned. I don't know who any of them are.
Well, all right. Well, that's enough of that. Let's just get to the flight. All right.
And you have an uneventful flight into Seattle and a fairly long layover, and then another fairly uneventful flight into Fairbanks, where you pick up. By this time, it's, you know, getting late, but it's summer, and so getting late doesn't mean dark because it's Alaska. So, you know, it's like, you know, 11:30 at night, and it's like still daylight, right? But you have like a handwritten directions that you copied down from your person that had booked it for you at this place called the Alpine Lodge, whatever that is. Apparently, it's going to take you like 40 minutes to get there from the airport. They booked you a rental car and everything, which you were able to get with no problem. And who's going to drive? I would assume that Bing is probably the only person legally allowed to, since it was booked by his, you know, contract employer. But he may be a bit high.
I also had like 7 screwdrivers on the airplane. On the flight, but I said, "Give me the keys. I'll drive."
Okay. Well, you sure? I remember you driving that big rig with Bigfoot in it. You did an okay job then, I guess. And the motorcycle,
the motorcycle all the way to Colorado, the wheelie the whole way, because you know you're a big guy, you know.
Yeah, a big guy.
Big guy riding on the back. He's going to make a wheelie, that's for sure. But no, I'll drive. I'll be fine. One time I drove Barry Manilow all the way to the Denny's in Columbia, Missouri, because he said that's where the keyboardist for Den of Iniquity worked. Well, I'll tell you, it was a hell of a night. And do not, I feel sorry for anyone who ate the pancake batter the next morning at that Denny's. Woo! Okay, yeah, give me the keys, and I'll get in the wrong side of the car. Oh, thought I was in England, and I'll get in the right, proper side. And I think part of his shtick is that he can still drive, you know, unless you rule otherwise. But it could be complicating if he has to roll. But I do not advocate drunk driving, by the way. This is Comic Universe with...
where people make bad decisions.
Disclaimers in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, it's Fairbanks. There's not a hell of a lot of traffic. There's a lot of things there potentially to hit in the, you know, terms of like trees and things. But I don't think it's going to be a huge problem. And so you begin following these directions, which take you pretty far outside of the city, and kind of. You at some point you leave kind of this main road onto this gravel road that winds up the side of this mountain, doing some switchbacks. And after about, I don't know, 10 minutes on that gravel road, you come to, it's a fucking log cabin. There's a sign that says Alpine Lodge, and it's good sized. But it's just like a fucking log cabin. You don't even know whether it has running water, plumbing, electricity. No idea.
No. I'll tell you what, James Coburn has a place like this. He keeps over in Idaho. And it's pretty high, too. In fact, I hadn't been that high since the time me and Ernest Borgnine picked up Debbie Reynolds and Shirley MacLaine and went to the place just like this one. So I think we're in for a good time here. These places, I bet you open it up, they got it all swanked out inside. Don't worry.
Well, it's okay if we have to rough it some. This is part of the adventure. You know, I'm excited to get inside and see what it's like.
Well, you don't see, don't tell me about roughing it. I've been to Tijuana with Wolford Brimley, so. But yeah, lead the way. You're the investigator. I'm just documenting it.
Yeah, he'll lead the way.
All right, well, there is an envelope taped to the front door that says Kingsley on it.
Here.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, open it up. Hey, read it to me there. My eyes are a little blurry at the moment.
It's, there's nothing to read. It's actually just a key.
Oh, great. Great, here's the key. All right, always need the key. Now he'll fumble at the lock for a minute and then get inside.
All right, yeah, so you get inside and are pleased to learn that there is running water, there is a flushing toilet. I mean, it is pretty rustic, don't get me wrong, but it's a good size. I mean, there's a loft. You could sleep, four people really comfortably here if somebody didn't mind sleeping on the couch. And there's, like, there's electricity. Flip on the lights. There's an electric stove. Yeah, so fancy for being so far out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, so it's pretty late. I tend to assume that you're pretty tired and, well, being pretty drunk. So I assume you might want to go to bed, but maybe you want to just go out in the woods for a bit. Who knows?
Well,
it's early. It's not late, it's early.
The sun can be deceiving. It makes you think it's early, but it's pretty late. But I don't know if I could go to sleep just yet. I'm so excited. I might just take a little walk around the place, see if I see any footprints or anything. And I'm going to take out my gear that I brought and get situated.
Well, tell you what, buddy, I think this is your time to shine. I'm going to sit here on the porch. I'm going to spark this one up. Get that one out of the luggage. There you go. And you go check it out, but if you hear something, I want you to hoot twice like a barn owl, all right? No, it's a great signal. It's this trick this kid taught me.
Yes, I'll do that.
So, and Bart is, like, dressed like, I imagine, because now he's in the field. He, you know, he's got his, like, kind of over the top. Like, he's wearing, like, a beige, like, kind of like safari type of shirt, and he's got, like, a fedora on, and looking at my old character sheet here, says, Binox, camera, tape recorder, pen and notebook, plaster of Paris, hunting knife, and a bear mace, which might actually come in handy if there was a time or a place to use bear mace. I think it would be here. I don't know if I, since it is the 70s, I don't know if there would have been any problem taking the bear mace on the plane or not.
Hell, I took a .38 revolver and a bunch of weed, so I think we're all right.
And ether, yeah.
All right, so just kind of looking for footprints, Bigfoot footprints, presumably.
Yes, there's a Bigfoot. There's a Bigfoot, cousin out here. It's called sometimes called the Alaskan Bushman, and I am, as you know, an expert at North American Bigfoot, so I will look around and see if there's any tracks.
Okay, and are you basically following the gravel road, or are you going to go off into the woods, like up the side of the mountain? Well, it's not. I mean, it is a mountain, but it's like, you're obviously part way up the side of it, and you can climb this hill, or you could go down.
Yeah, I think he'll climb up the hill just a little, maybe get a good view of the whole area.
Okay, and how far away from the lodge do you intend to get? I mean, because going uphill is or downhill is great, because you know, then you know that to get back to where you need to get back to the cabin, you just need to go the opposite, you know, up or down than you came originally. So, so you probably feel fairly confident getting some distance away. I don't imagine you want to get super far.
No, I mean, definitely keep the cabin in view. Just climbing up a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, so you're scanning the ground and looking for, so you see plenty of, like, moose tracks, bear tracks. Don't really see any Bigfoot tracks. But there's definitely plenty of wildlife in the area. Make a perception roll.
I failed.
Yeah, you hear something, like something moving, but when you go to look to see what it was, you can't see anything.
Darn. Probably just a moose.
I guess he'll go investigate, though, that where the sound came from.
Okay. Well, you think it was a little bit further up the hill, and of course, this is pretty, you know, dense forest. I mean, did you bring a machete? It's not quite that thick, but it certainly could.
No, he just has that hunting knife, but that wouldn't really work very well, probably.
All right. Well, you go another, you know, several yards up this hill, and make another perception roll.
Yes, 21.
Now you see it, and you see something, and it's some distance away off to your right, but basically at the same, a very similar elevation, just slightly further up the hill. But it's definitely brown and fuzzy, or hairy, but that's all you know.
Could it be? Oh, okay, I'm gonna get out my Binox.
I'm just gonna try to look through these binoculars and get a closer look.
Yeah. So you pull out your binoculars and get the glass on this patch of brown hair, and it's moving, and it doesn't seem well. I mean, you've seen one other Bigfoot, right? But this seems Bigfoot kind of had coarse, roughish sort of hair. This looks soft and fuzzy. But maybe it's just a different species or different, you know.
Flurf.
And he's basically just talking to himself, like,
it could be a variant of Bigfoot, or it could be a brown bear, but I know how to differentiate it.
And he's gonna try to find, like, a stick, and try to pick up a good sized stick and bang it on the tree and do some wood knocking, some, you know, just to couple of knocks on the trunk of a tree and see if it gets repeated.
Okay. So how loud are you going to? Like, pretty loud? I mean, I assume loud enough that you are ensuring that, that whatever this thing is hears you.
Yeah, and he's a big guy. You know, I've said like 6'5". So he's going to swing real hard. So it's going to be pretty loud.
Okay, yeah. You whack, whack, whack against this, you know, tree or whatever. And as soon as you hit the first percussive, you know, whack, this thing bolts off.
And can I see it any more clearly as it bolts off to identify it?
Were you still looking at it through the binoculars?
No, not when I was knocking.
Well, you definitely, when it trundles off, you definitely see what appears to be the ass end of a small bear.
Just a bear. Still pretty cool, but not as cool as Bigfoot. Well, I don't know if I want to go traipsing off any further. Better watch Bing and make sure he doesn't choke out his own vomit.
I want to say at that moment you hear the 38 go off. Boom! Crack it on my...
Yep, I better get back.
I, like, run out towards you as you... I was like, hey, I think I heard a Bigfoot. That tree knocking you were telling me about, the distance, I swear. I got really good ears, despite having gone on tour as a roadie with Blue Cheer. They are louder than God, it's true. But, no, I think I heard some Bigfoot knocking.
Well, it could have been me, but it could have been Bigfoot, because I made the knocking. But if you heard a knocking, it could have been for another Bigfoot responding to my Bigfoot that was not in my immediate area. But it's hard to determine because of echoes. We might have to search around even more to see. I saw a brown bear, but that doesn't mean there's not a Bigfoot around here.
Well, brown bear, whatever. I tell you, I say it's about time we hit the sack. I'll sleep in the loft, all right? Of course, last time I slept in a loft, it was all with all the members of the Hollies. Graham Nash rolled over in the night and touched my junk. I said, buddy, I'm flattered, but I prefer Alan Clark. Anyway, though, my mind's wandering. I don't think we can go out and explore tonight.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true. Yeah, we better pack it in for the night. Are we going to take watch? Because we might have to with bears and Bigfoots around.
By the time you finished that sentence, he had already walked inside.
Well, I guess I'm going to take watch. I've got my bear mace ready.
But he'll probably... Since I doubt Bing's going to ever wake up, he'll try to stay... Bart will try to stay awake for a while, but I'm sure he'll pass out eventually as well.
Yeah. So he's taking watch outside?
Well, maybe on the porch, if it has a porch. Sitting out there, and then, like, once he, I can see him kind of, you know, falling asleep and then waking up a little later and then going inside and falling asleep on the bed.
Well, that sounds good to me. Well, your watch passes pretty much without incident, other than, you know, the occasional critter flitting by, but none of them are Bigfoots. So, yeah, you go to bed with the midnight sun still streaming in through the windows. It does eventually actually get kind of dark-ish for like a couple hours.
Yeah.
And then stops being dark again. So it is already fully daylight whenever you wake up, which it doesn't really matter what time it is, but you have to. It's kind of annoying that they booked this place so far out because, you know, you have to drive all the way back into the city to meet up at the airfield. Obviously, you're not going back to the international airport. That's not where the old bush pilots tend to fly out of. But just south of there, there's a metro field that you can where you are scheduled to meet up with your pilot. This morning.
I'm ironically, I'm up early. He can handle this. Yeah, get up, Bart. Got your coffee right here. Amazing pancakes. Get up. Wakey, wakey, hands off, snakey. Let's go. Time for adventure.
Did you
go to the airport?
There's no snakes in Alaska.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but.
Yeah.
But that's not unusual.
It's too cold for snakes.
Oh, I thought you said steaks, like there's no steaks in Alaska.
No.
I tell you.
There's plenty of steaks, I'm sure. I could use a steak for breakfast.
Well, I got no steak, but I got a hell of a pancake right here. Here you go. You know. Tell you where there's no steaks, Jack Cassidy's house. Guy invited me over for a barbecue, just like a vegetarian plate. Then the guy falls asleep, smoking a cigarette on the couch. I left. I don't know whatever happened with that. Anyway, we need to get to the airport because, you know, National Geographic assured me, I requested specifically in my notes, where I got a badass bush bitch to help us out. So I'm hoping that at the airport we can meet this bush bitch.
Oh, it's a female. I can't talk to women at all. I just clam up. I don't know if I could. I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna book a flight back to Jupiter Springs. I can't talk to women at all.
I'm gonna slip some sedative into his pancake syrup. I would like to assume I've got like some. You know, I'm not sure when Xanax came in. I got some barbiturates, you know, some light, you know, mother's little Nerf pills kind of, you know.
Xanax was definitely around in the 70s. I think that's about the time it came out.
Yeah, I'm going to dose him just to calm him down, just to take the edge off.
Quarter milligram. Just a little quarter milligram. He'll be fine.
Yeah, we're going to start early. We're going to start low. Start low dose. But yeah, I'm going to...
All right, well, I assume that will take the edge off of Bart's anxiety.
Yeah, sure it would.
But just as you are finishing up breakfast, there is a knock at the cabin door.
Bigfoot? Okay.
No, it's not.
Everybody, stay calm. Okay. I'm gonna answer the door. I'm feeling brave.
Yeah. Dude, it's gonna be alright. I got a very positive feeling about this. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm feeling okay. I think it's all gonna be pretty cool. Just like it was pretty cool in Colorado. Yeah.
So you answer the door and standing, I don't know how tall Bart is. I know he's pretty tall, though. Probably 6'3", 6'4",
6'5".
6'5", yeah. So you're several inches taller than the man standing at the door. He's probably around 6 foot. A little older than you, probably 40, 50 in there somewhere. But he's wearing kind of, you know, almost stereotypical backcountry gear. And but he's got like a big full beard. And anyway, his hair, you could tell that used to be dark, likely, but it's, you know, salt and peppery now. And when you open the door, he says, "Howdy. Thought I might have heard a gunshot last night. You hear anything about that?"
"Oh yeah, that was me. Come on in. We're having pancakes."
Let me consult with my partner for a minute before you enter our domicile."
And I should point out that parked next to your rental car is like an old, beat up, you know, farm looking pickup truck, all rusted out and whatever. This is apparently what this guy got here in, so it's not like a cop or whatever.
Right. Well,
Bart's gonna kind of whisper to Bing, and say,
"I have heard rumors of something, a group called the Men in Plaid that are like the Men in Black, but they try to suppress people's Bigfoot sightings and try to cover it up. But you never know, he could be one of them. Just to let you know, so keep on your guard."
"Don't worry about it, Plaid's out. Unless you were trying to watch the Bob Newhart show. I told that guy 1,000 times Plaid is out. Hey, you know what? Plaid's my favorite color, actually. Plus, that guy's got a beat-up pickup truck. That's how you know he's all right. That's how I decided to make friends with Lee Marvin. Anyway..."
I'm going to go over and open the door.
So what was this about, some pancakes?
"Yeah, come on in. Just make some pancakes. Don't eat that syrup, though. That's have this syrup," and I'll give him the undosed syrup. "Well, maple syrup there. Just a few extra pancakes. Might be getting a little cold, but that's all right. You know, nothing wrong with a cold pancake. That's what I learned last time I partied with Danny Kaye and Bing Crosby. Tell you what."
"He's got all kinds of stories. I've got stories, too. I would partied with the Jersey Devil and the Dover Demon at Mothman's house in West Virginia."
"Well, that sounds like quite a tall tale you got there, my friend. But I'm afraid we haven't," and he's saying this as he's eating pancakes, and, you know, "I'm afraid we haven't been properly introduced. My name is Jarvis, Jarvis Easley. Now, I'm curious. Now, I think I might have seen you look a mite familiar there, you with your stories of, I might have seen you on the television back before I absconded from civilization to come out to the backcountry."
"Well, you know, I will tell you, I was in a few films, mostly art films, though, early 70s stuff. There's a couple shots of me in the Stones' Gimme Shelter, actually. And, of course, I was a cutout of Woodstock, but that's only because of something that happened between me and Scorsese's wife. But, no, I'm not much of a movie star, but I've done a few... I think I remember doing some interviews. I know that Dick Cavett does not care for me, nor does Mike Douglas, so... I'm assuming that there's an interview or two there I don't remember on prime time. Sure."
"Oh, but are you talking about me? Because I've been on Jupiter Springs Cable Access TV talking about Bigfoot. You might have seen me."
"No, I'm afraid I never heard of no Jupiter Springs. As you might be able to tell, I'm originally from... the South. I never spent much time in no place called Jupiter Springs, though. Where's that? Whereabouts is that?"
It's in Northern California. It's south of Bluff Creek, where the Bigfoot and the Patterson-Gimlin footage was filmed."
Well, you sure do know a lot about these Bigfoots right there, don't you?
I know everything there is to know. And I've met Bigfoot, too. But nobody believes me, but I met... It was a female Bigfoot. Wait, I should be saying this. You could be... I don't even know who you are.
Well, like I said, my name is Jarvis. Jarvis Easley. And I retired up here in the backcountry. Because this is where... Well, I just feel like it's God's country, don't you know?
Well, it's... Yeah, it's got... It's beer country. And it might be Bigfoot country.
I thought I was in God's country once. Turned out it was just Douglas Fairbanks Jr.'s back 40.
So, Mr. I'm sorry, I didn't get... I don't think I got your name, did I?
Oh, Mr. Sorry, name's Ben Kingsley. I'm doing some work for National Geographic. I'm, writing up this investigation here. We've seen all kinds of crazy stuff. But, yeah, sorry, that was me who shot the gun last night. I thought I heard a Bigfoot knocking. And, so I shot the gun in the air to alert my pal.
Oh, I see, I see. All right. Well, I guess if that's the best way you got to alert your pal, then I imagine that's... I mean, that's just the kind of thing we do out here in the bush sometimes, so...
Yeah, well, I thought about turning the car stereo up really, really, really loud, but the only thing in there is a Blue Oyster called 8-Track, and I don't like them.
All right, then. Well, I just come down here, and he says as he's finishing up his pancakes, I just come down here to check on everybody, make sure that everybody was all right. Now, I'm far enough from civilization out here that, you know, had somebody been shot, you know, it would have been quite a long trip to get him to treatment and all, so just making sure everybody's okay, and it seems like everybody is. So thank you very much for the pancakes.
Hey, you're welcome. Anytime.
Before you go, have you seen any sightings of any strange creatures around here?
Well, so I've only been here a short time. I just recently retired, and moved into this rustic cabin just a ways up the hill here, and. In that relatively short time that I've been here, I have seen, well, I would say quite a few interesting things. Lights flashing in the sky and funny noises that I can't track down or explain. But one of the things I have not seen, unfortunately, my friend, is a Bigfoot.
Well, we are... going to be going to all kinds of places in the Alaska Triangle, so perhaps we will find we will see a Bigfoot or any other matter of strange phenomena that occurs there. It's...
Yeah, I might want to come back and interview you later about the strange lights, but we got a date with Badass Bush Bitch.
Well, if I was you, I would not keep a badass bush bitch waiting. So I'm going to head up back up to my... We've already kept her waiting for 48 minutes.
Word.
sorry. anyway, I'm going to get in my pickup truck and head on back up to my cabin up there up the hill. And thank you all very much again. And maybe run into you some other time, he says. And leaves.
Unless that guy gets abducted by aliens, I say, I'll drive. Give me the keys.
And being make a... I don't think Bart has any chance of this, but being make a perception roll.
All right. My perception is very high. It's a 71, I think. And I rolled a 13. Yeah, I rolled... Yeah, succeed with many, 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 many degrees of success.
Even under the beard, that dude looked familiar.
Tell you, the last time I saw a guy wearing a fake beard was at Carol O'Connor's birthday party. He was trying to teach me how to tap dance. I was all hopped up on benzo, so I don't remember it very well. But
Anyway, Carol O'Connor can cut a rug for a big fella. Anyway, yeah, you get the feeling that that fella seemed familiar. Didn't he ring any bells at all now that I bring it up?
Well, not familiar to me. But, as I said, he could be an undercover operative of some, you know, special access program that is in charge of the controlling the Bigfoot narrative.
Well, maybe so. Maybe I'll remember if I put my thinking cap on, I say, as he lights up another big one as he pulls out, you know, in the car to drive to the airport.
Yeah, well, it's just so hard because it would have been years since you possibly saw this person and they looked completely different.
It's David Crosby. I knew it.
No. It's Elvis. It's totally Elvis.
Well, when you said thank you very much, well, I almost made an Elvis joke. Oh, shit.
That would have been funny if you had.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm doing this. I say, wait a minute. He slams on the brakes. It turns around and he starts to drive back. He's like, wait, no. Mission comes first. All right, we're talking to that guy later, that's for sure. You know what I just realized? That's the big fella. That's the king. That was Elvis. He retired up here. Thank you very much. I can't believe I didn't notice it. I can't believe he didn't recognize me, motherfucker. Of course, then again, that guy was wasted at that party. It was that party with Ann Margaret I mentioned earlier. Oh, she was riding him in the back.
He actually did recognize you, but he just put it up. He deflected it by saying you saw him on TV.
Oh, well, that's perfect. No, it was so funny because the way you said thank you very much, I almost said something.
That was supposed to be the giveaway. I'm glad it worked.
Yeah.
And his name was Jarvis Easley. Come on.
Yeah, it's all making sense now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you guys head off back down the hill and onto the main road and eventually back into the city and down to the little airfield to the east of the big airport where our badass bush bitch is waiting in a very small little terminal. I mean it's like there's like a vending machine, like a Coke machine, and like some chairs to sit in, and like a little desk where you can like do chart out flight plans on your sectionals and stuff, and that's all there is to it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go up to the vending machine and I'm going to order an RC Cola and then snap the bottle off, and then I'm going to drink half of it real quick, and then I'm going to get a tiny little, shot bottle out of my luggage and pour the rest of it in there and then shake it around in my hand and then nurse that for a while.
Okay, fair enough. And I guess this is where we get to meet our badass butch bitch finally at the very tail end of the episode. I am so sorry, Lynn. I wasn't sure I knew it would be at least halfway, but I didn't think it was going to be quite this long. But
yeah, it's all good.
I blame Bard for going out looking for that bear.
I was looking for Bigfoot, not a bear, but I found a bear.
I'm assuming have we gone up to this pilot yet?
Yeah, let's go up to her.
Yeah, I mean, there's you don't really have much choice. I assume she's like sitting, at the desk by the phone, looking at sectionals or doing pilot stuff. Maybe getting ready to call in a flight plan or whatever. But yeah, it's such a small room. As soon as you walk in, it's like you see each other and presume who each other are.
That's a time. Hi there. Whoa, hey. How are you?
Hi, I'm Riff Sloan. I'm a badass bush bitch. That's what you're looking for.
That's exactly what we've been looking for. Oh, we're going to get along famously. Here, have some RC Cola. There's a little something special in there. Wait, no, you're flying. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm flying, but I wouldn't mind. A little toke-toke.
I can fly a little toke-toke,
just no drinking.
Yeah, well, yeah, I gave...
I don't know if the FAA agrees with that, but...
No, I'm fairly sure they don't.
Reminds me of the time I partied with Leonard Skinner's pilot in a small airport in the South a long time ago. He took a little toke-toke. I'm not sure what happened with that. All right, so, yeah, he'll get out. Here's a little spliff. Save it for later. All right.
Madam, my name is Bart Garfinkel. I am a world-renowned cryptozoologist feeling strangely adventurous.
Oh, for like Bigfoot and stuff? Is that what you're talking about? I heard some cryptozoologists.
Yes.
Wow. Now this is going to be an interesting trip, ain't it?
I hope so. There's... I've heard all kinds of reports about high strangeness afoot in the Alaska Triangle. People disappearing, strange lights, cryptids galore, and even planes disappearing as well.
Well, you know what I heard? Talk about strange. I heard Elvis living up on this little mountain outside the city.
I told you. I knew it.
That's what I heard.
He is. I got an interview with him later. They could have seen a UFO or something.
He doesn't know yet. Or maybe he does. I can't remember. Maybe he did something about the lights. I can't remember.
He mentioned lights. I mean,
yeah, but I couldn't remember if you had told him that you were going to talk to him later about the lights.
Oh, no, I didn't tell him that. No, I'm just assuming he'll want to talk to me, of course. But, so
first of all, before we get going here, I know we got much time before we got to get going, but tell us a little bit about yourself. What are your qualifications? I'm supposed to be writing all this up.
I'm a native Alaskan. I've been living here my whole life. I've been flying about 10 years. And I know the land like I know the back of my hand. I can fly anywhere you want to go. Wilderness expert. Got a sat phone and first aid, hunt knife, Swiss Army knife, anything we might need out in the wilderness so we can fly around. And then we can set up and, spiral out from where we land and do search patterns and whatever you want to do, track down this there Bigfoot. I know I can help you out because I know this place like I know my own. I can't think of anything appropriate.
I was going to say right vagina, now. But that's inappropriate.
Heck yeah, that's inappropriate. Boy, I've seen Robert Wagner get kicked out of a party for saying that.
I normally don't ever act like this, but I don't know, something just strange going on. It must be this Alaska Triangle.
It
very well could be. I know it gets to folks. You know, I hear things.
All right. Unfortunately, I mean, at this point, obviously, you've had an interesting run-in with someone who may or may not be Elvis, who talked about some weird lights and stuff, but you don't really have any leads at the moment on where you might want to go. You could just start flying around at random. And looking for stuff, because, you know, obviously from a couple thousand feet in the air, you can, and at the speed of a plane, you can cover quite a lot of ground and take a lot of get, you know, look at a lot of stuff with binoculars and maybe find something interesting to
I mean, is it possible just from living here for forever that I've heard reports and can kind of scope out on a map where I might want think would be a good place to get started?
Yes, I think that is reasonable as well.
Excellent.
And yeah, I mean, I can, or and also totally valid to. I mean, you already did ask Jarvis, but. No reason you couldn't also just go to the local diner and ask some locals or whatever. That's all going to be up to you guys. But I can definitely shoot some you know some things that you have seen flying around that looked like they might be interesting to investigate.
Excellent.
Yeah, you consult your notes. You consult your notes. I want to be in the airport bar.
There is no, unfortunately, airport.
There ain't airport no bar. Airport bar except what you got in your bottle there, honey.
Now, see, this is why people hate Alaska.
Yeah, it might be. Might be one of the reasons.
And with that, I guess we'll have to wait until the next episode and see exactly where the hell you guys go and... what kind of shenanigans you get up to?
All right.
Hey, everybody. If you like our podcast, don't forget to leave us a good rating and or review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, Spotify, or wherever you're able. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at Goonies_world. And check out our website at GooniesWorldPodcast.com. Email us at GooniesWorldPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.